Hulk Hogan here, wishing you a very happy Hulkamania birthday. Stay young, my brother. What you gonna do?
Welcome to episode number 12 of the Crossing Borders Wrestling Podcast. My name's Strenuous Man Flurry. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. And Writer Catherine, thank you very much for joining me tonight on this, your birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be except with friends and family and...
me. Just
God,
me.
I'm
It is actually your shoot birthday.
Yes, it is.
Up there in Canada land, you turned whatever you turned and had a big, a little shindig and a soiree and all that sort of thing. And now you are here to talk about the WWE and where did you go wrong in your life?
There's a lot of potential answers to that.
Well, go ahead and give me one.
Started watching wrestling at a young age. I was doomed.
It's a gateway drug to watching more wrestling.
Actually, it might have a genetic background because apparently my great-grandmother would watch wrestling.
Really?
Yes, and she would scream at the heels in Arabic, Armenian, etc.
Would she go to the shows?
Probably not. She was quite old by this point. My grandfather on my maternal side used to take my mom and my aunt to wrestling down the street, so... there's a rich family history there.
When did she got into it? Late in life then?
Who?
Your grandmother.
I think so, yeah.
Do you know where roughly, rough area, where'd she live?
Oh, in this area.
Okay. Like, so who would that have been? Would that have been Bastien, Red Bastien? No, it would have been way before him.
Yeah, I'm just not sure who she would have. I would have to ask my dad about it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Can't think of it. Anyway. I'm trying to think. My dad liked wrestling when he was a kid, but he can't, like, remember much of it, and he wasn't into it as much as I was. No one was.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm much better than my family because I like wrestling more. That's how it works.
Very true.
So, what's wrestling done to earn me lately, though? WWE, the major leagues... presented a Raw go-home show for the TLC pay-per-view. I don't know, Ryder Kath. I thought it was horrible.
Yeah, it was just not a good show at all. The pacing felt really weird. One thing I noticed was that everybody looked exhausted.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if they just got back from tour, if they were going on tour, or what, but the whole roster just seemed like they were... I wouldn't say at half speed, but they definitely seemed like they weren't all on their A-game.
Yeah, other than the long match between Kevin Owens and Ziggler, I can't think of anything that was like a really long involved singles or tag. Like, you had the sort of long open with, you know, 100 people in it.
Yeah, and that's a weird trend they've got going on.
Yeah, they did it at... I mean, Tribute to the Troops doesn't count, but... yeah, I mean, they're... they keep doing, like, eight-man tags. Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Eh, is what it is. So I guess overall, the main topic of discussion here is gonna be WWE Raw, TLC, Raw fucking sucks, Raw. Talk briefly about the WWE conference call for NXT. Triple H had some, well, comments that he probably needed to make on that, and whether anything happens or not, we'll see. But we'll talk about it, we'll do questions, and go from there. But realistically, this is going to be a short show, not a whole lot of notable things happening in the world today. I already did a podcast before this, as it is, and it's 9-something, and it's your birthday, and last thing you want to do is spend your time droning on about the WWE.
I can think of worse ways to spend an evening.
I can think of better ones, but also worse ones. So let's talk about Roman Reigns, because that's the topic du jour right now. He had the main event segment, which was a promo, after the main event match, which was Braun Strowman versus Tommy Dreamer, of all matches. But that, so he had the main event slot against Sheamus in a promo off, and he started talking about Sheamus's small balls.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about his manhood. Talking about how he was a coward. And I don't know, Kath. I feel like 2015, you have small testicles, is a little bit out there.
You know, It reeked of a Vince-written promo.
Yeah.
Because it's all the stuff he finds funny.
Machismo and bravado and...
And
virulence.
Balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you know, Sheamus probably does have small balls from testosterone abuse.
Perhaps.
Probably. Maybe he's got TRT.
Maybe.
But yeah, it was a strange one. It was a really weird one.
Yeah, it was. You can always tell when Vince has had a heavy hand in a scripted promo because it has certain qualities to it.
Yeah.
And this one had all of those qualities. The awkwardness. Nobody could possibly sound human or like a person who's angry upon saying those things.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to bring this up. It might have been 5, maybe even 7 or 8 shows back by now, but it was a while ago, and it was when, do you remember how every segment was not just Roman, but it was Roman and Dean?
And yeah.
They would come out, and they would always talk about drinking beer and being buddies, and he was short and sweet on his promos, and it was always like, these guys are best buddies.
And that's relatable.
Well, but more to the point, like, that rehabbed him. And you remember what I said there? And it happened. And what I said was, they're trying to rehab him the moment he starts getting positive reactions. And remember, Hell in a Cell on, he did. That's where it kind of started to turn before that. But that match afterwards, he was solidly getting face, you know, big cheers. Not where you want your top guy to be, not even close. But he was to the point where the crowd stopped rejecting him at all the shows.
Yeah.
What did they do almost immediately?
They ruined it.
Long John Cena promo!
The thing is, Roman Reigns had 3 promos.
Yeah!
On Raw. 3.
3.
So rather than showcase some of their other talent and people they've got on the roster who haven't been doing much, who could be, they've got everybody smooshed together. So there's the faction feud, and then there's individual feuds going on within the faction feud.
Yeah, and the factions, like, the guys in the faction have their own, like, the managers don't exist unless they're not out there in the faction. It's very weird. They have their own shit going on. They're feuding with people who aren't feuding with the League of Nations, and then when the League of Nations is together, those other people don't come out and do anything. It's very, very weird.
Yeah, and it's strange because their roster is not, injuries aside, their roster is pretty deep.
It's thinned out significantly.
But they have access to people they're not using.
Yep.
They have a lot of stuff they're not doing, and they're relying on these 8 people and overexposing them, and it's just entirely too much of these same 8 people.
Yeah, and more to the point, the main feud is Roman Reigns and company versus the League of Nations, but, you know, to the point, Del Rio, when he's not out there with the other 3 goons, is feuding with Jack Swagger.
Yeah, it's like the League of Nations is in this weird vacuum.
Right.
Because Owens is feuding with Ambrose, and they're both within the faction feud.
Well, Owens isn't.
Owens and Ambrose? Yeah.
Owens is not in the faction feud. Ambrose is.
Oh, well, he should be.
So Ambrose's feud, again, is outside of the faction feud. Roman Reigns and Sheamus is the only ongoing feud truly happening. Like, who are the Usos feuding with? New Day. Who's New Day feuding? Are New Day a part of the League of Nations? They are not. So it's very weird, and it feels sort of like because, you know, it was a haphazardly put-together stable.
Yeah.
You know, so they got to burn off the pre-existing feuds, I guess. But I bet you anything that Owens and Ambrose continues on past the pay-per-view. I bet you the Usos and New Day continue on past the pay-per-view. I bet they don't involve Bad News Barrett and Rusev in that feud as a tag team, or him and Del Rio, or whomever they want to use. But the point is, like, it's very odd to me.
And, you know, it's such a shame with Reigns, because they were at a point where they could have conceivably just put the belt on him, because more than likely, Sheamus is going to win through cheap means.
Probably. I mean, TLC, no DQ.
But the thing is, it doesn't make Roman look stronger.
No.
it just makes Roman look like a choke artist.
He did win the title.
He did, but I mean, nobody's going to remember.
Right.
Like, the 5-minute reigns don't count.
I think it doesn't, like, we talked about how it was inevitable, right? They can't help themselves. They gotta make Roman do something he's not good at.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment they do, the crowd's going to turn on him again. I think I mean, they're going to spend 3 more months teaming him up with Ambrose and having him go, Ambrose is my friend, please like me.
And that's going to have diminishing returns.
Yes.
Because it's after a while, it's going to start hurting Ambrose more than it helps Reigns.
Well, it's hurt Ambrose significantly.
Yeah, but Ambrose has that innate charisma where if they put him on a little winning streak against some random jobbers, crowd would get behind him in no time. If they let him talk, if they gave Ambrose one of those lengthy promo times, the crowd would get behind him.
The thing that really trips me up is they want Roman to be the guy, but they don't want him to do it the way that it has to happen for him to work. In other words, there are 2 options here. One is you script him the way he needs to be scripted, short and sweet, badass, or you turn him heel. And they're not going to turn him heel, and they're not going to have him do the short promos. So to me, logically, even though you like the guy's look, if you're unwilling to use him the way that's going to get over, you have to realize it's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go with someone else, because otherwise, I mean, that old saying, that old saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and thinking it'll have a different outcome. And they just can't help themselves. They have him do the promo, that won't work. They have him go out there and make jokes, and it doesn't work. And it puts him under, and they sacrifice all the other faces by buddying them up, but making them secondary to him to try to get him over, and it's not going to work. It simply doesn't work, and they have to realize that. Sooner or later, they have to realize they can't do it right, they can't help themselves, they have to turn him or get someone else.
Yeah, and at this point, I'm not even sure I'd want to see the Reigns-Ambrose feud.
No. No, I don't know either.
So, at Survivor Series or something beforehand, during the title tournament, that's when I wanted to see it.
Right.
And again, it's them kind of dragging something out that didn't need to be dragged out. They would probably get a lot more mileage out of an Ambrose Reigns feud right now.
They could have, yes.
So
either one of them as a heel would have been a better lead heel than Sheamus. I mean, ultimately, we talked about it. The best idea and the way they set it up, it wouldn't have worked with him standing up to the authority and winning his way into the championship match as it was. It probably wouldn't have been as effective. But the best way forward would have been Roman as a heel.
Yes.
And it's frustrating when you watch because you know they're not going to do it right.
No.
And by God, you know, I know wrestling history pretty well. You know, I read a lot about it. But I'm not some genius or anything like that, but it has to be evident to them. I cannot fathom that it's not clear to them, because it's really not arguable at this point. It's not like I'm missing something or I've got a blind spot. I like Roman Reigns a lot. I think he's a very good wrestler.
Yes.
I think if they prioritize tag teams, I think he'd be a fantastic tag team wrestler for his whole career.
If they had to make him a main event guy, he really, honestly, should join the Authority, because say what you will about Hunter, but dude can do a promo, if nothing else. That would be a great place for Roman to learn. And rather than having to be the center of attention, he could be the dude standing there looking smug, say his little piece, and then hand off the microphone.
Sure. Yeah, and you can always have that underlying current of he doesn't deserve it.
Exactly.
He's the chosen champion, which is better than what we have. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately, though, what it comes down to, Kath, is he's just not the person that they need to be going forward with.
No, and, you know, that's not to say 5-10 years down the line, he couldn't be. But right now, no. The way they're doing it, no. So something's going to have to give, and eventually it could be the audience.
Yeah. I mean, that thing we always say every week, you know, once upon a time, WWE could do this shit, and even if ratings eroded just a little bit, ratings still just eroded a little bit. Now, what can you say? You know, it was a little bit of bleeding. It was a little bit of bleeding for a couple years, just a little bit at a time.
It's turning into death of a thousand cuts.
Right, yes.
And they're inflicting all the cuts themselves.
Very true. And I'm not saying that their ratings are going to skyrocket up or anything like that, but, you know, when you present, I don't think I've ever seen the product this cold, you know, at least since, like, the early 90s. Like, even in mid-2000s, you know, even when it was Batista and John Cena, say what you will about proto-Batista back in the day, maybe not the best wrestler ever back at that point, but, like, he was over. John Cena got the greatest mixed reactions I've ever heard, ever. Edge was over, Triple H was over, Shawn Michaels was over, the entire main event, you know, Undertaker was around. Everyone was, like, a dozen times more over than they are now. And it proves in the pudding. When Undertaker comes out or when Brock Lesnar comes out, they get chants. They get sustained reaction. People stand up for them. When Roman comes out, it's just like, this is going to be dumb. Mm-hmm. And hey, he had a great match, but he had to fight and fight and fight and fight to get the crowd on his side. And that's not what you want from the top guy. You want, like, if they're heckling him and booing him, who gives a shit? At least it's a reaction.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, boo, yay. Boo, yay. And you have no one else you can really even put there other than Cena when he returns. And how much longer is Cena going to last?
No, I mean, eventually he's going to break.
And he's broken many times.
Yeah, his neck, I mean...
That motherfucker broke his neck!
I'm sure he's had more than his share of concussions, too.
Probably.
So... Yeah, they're not going to be able to ride that Cena train forever.
No, they're not.
And it's closer to the end than it is to the beginning.
Yeah, he's 38 now, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, and guy is a great wrestler.
But the punishing pace, the amount of matches, the road schedule, it's not conducive to a long career for anyone.
No, and it's really amazing, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, and part of it I wonder is, I mean, obviously most guys are still on some shit, but it's not what it was back in the day, not even close. So I almost wonder if
I think a lot of it is, as you've said, the format, where the show feels very beat by beat by beat, repetitive. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't move at the breakneck pace that it used to. Segments will linger on maybe a little too long, a minute too long.
And you know, it's that way with backstage interviews, too.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. I think it's always looked like shit, and I recognized that when I was a kid. You know, the focus the camera on Renee or whatever, and she looks at the person leaving, and it just stays, and it stays, and it stays.
And
why do they do that?
Yeah, it's like 15 or 20 seconds too long, and you feel it, and it starts to drag, and that brings the pace down.
Yeah, and why do you need to have a 15-minute closing promo segment where all they do is promo, and then they have a quick fight? Roman puts Sheamus through a table. Like, how about a quick promo segment, then Roman puts Sheamus through a table?
And the thing is, they've killed their tension two times over for the match. Why the hell should I want to see the match when Roman has pinned Sheamus and put him through the table in the course of the same night?
Yeah, what Sheamus got?
Unless Sheamus, like, the only way to draw out tension would be for, like, Sheamus to pull out a gun at this point.
Bang, 5-15.
Put yourself through the table, Roman. Or I'm gonna shoot Dean.
And I think that's one of the big things with WWE right now, is there is no... there's no trust in things turning around. There's no
–
because, you know, there's always that thing where it's like, well, you know, this isn't good and that's not good, but, hey, these two guys are going to have a really good feud. And Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose, two of my favorite guys, are feuding, and I don't care because they're going to get their time cut. You know, they're not going to get showcased. They're not going to follow up from it. There's no stakes, you know.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns loses at TLC, he's going to rematch with Sheamus. Roman Reigns wins at TLC, he's going to rematch with Sheamus. You know, you don't – what are the stakes for any other match, any other segment, any other – anything? Like the Lucha Dragons and New Day and the Usos are in a tag match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only stakes here are like who's going to pin the Lucha Dragons? To me. And then the New Day feud against Usos will continue. And like you said, it'll linger on. It'll go on. Where are the stakes for anything? If somebody loses, they should be pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And somebody else should rise up the ranks and get the next shot. And they should have to fight back and get it again. Get a new one. You know, where are there any stakes to anything? If the titles are props, the titles shouldn't exist.
And not only that, even stuff like so-and-so gets fired. They've killed that stipulation because people come back within a week. People come back within a month.
People don't adhere to the stipulations.
Yeah. And it's a shame that, like, injuries are so widely speculated about immediately.
Yeah.
Like, that GIF of Rollins in Dublin was out right away. Because they could have worked something with that.
I mean, people will accept the internal. I mean, they could have.
And, you know, Rollins, you're a fuck-up. You're fired! So the authority's just going hog wild even on their golden boy. Like,
the problem with the authority is they are metatextual.
Yeah, and they get to say things that other people can't. You know, you can't have somebody say to Stephanie, well, what the hell did you do to earn this company?
Right.
You were born.
Or, like, you know, why, when they come out with Roman and they want him to be the new face of the authority and then he rejects them, right? Like, it's no big deal. He's not, you don't have Triple H throwing a fit backstage and throwing lamps and just like, we're going to get someone to get that motherfucker.
It's yeah.
Just, you don't, and
they
and
never
that's
feel like they have, like they've gotten, they always feel like they have the upper hand.
And it just feels like they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, by sheer inertia, things will continue.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with the authority, you know they're never going to be out of power.
Right, and they've we know that because they've lost power before, and they came back within a month.
Yeah. And even, like, as a fan, it's like having the head of the network on as a character on your show. You know not too much is going to happen, and the thing is, like, with Stephanie and Hunter is more willing to look like an ass.
Yes.
By far,
degree,
more than Stephanie. Stephanie just, as a character, never gets one-upped. She never gets, you know, outspoken. She's always the cleverest one. You know,
yeah,
she will literally step in front of her husband to verbally tear a dude down.
Yep. Even Batista tweeted about that.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious to me. Here's the real question I have. Like, okay, so the authority, for however long, have been the overarching, you know, the angle that ties everything together. They've been the heel authority figures for whenever, except when they're not heel. They've been the bad guys, except when they're not the bad guys. But they've been present, other than 1 month that they were away, for over a year, for a long fucking time.
It's closer to 2 years now.
Feels like it. It could be closer to 10 for all I know.
Mm-hmm.
But what's their motivation?
Yeah. And, you know, at least initially when they would say best for business, they could be disingenuous about that.
Right.
And, you know, they could make it, you could kind of use that as a motivating factor.
Sure.
But that would also kind of potentially lead to, well, Roman Reigns, your t-shirt sales are down this year, this quarter, so we're going to murder you.
But without, like, reading into anything or creating, filling in the gaps for them, if you were to look at them and, you know, analyze the authority, what has been their motivation this whole time?
best for business is what is their tagline.
Right, and what does that even mean? Like, how do they show that what they care about is best for business? Like, they presented a weak champion. They let him create a stable of fucking idiots. They constantly waffled on whether they liked him or whether they didn't. He talked about the current champion, mind you, being the future of the WWE. Now, think about what that means. In WWE, it's not like boxing. You don't have 100 different titles, all from, you know, different governing bodies, WBO, WBF. You have one title. You have one major singles title. You don't even have two anymore. So the top guy in your company is the future of your company, not the present. He's not the guy. And so if that's the case...
And even at that, they would constantly do stuff where they would undermine Seth by saying Triple H is better than you.
Right.
And it's like, then why the hell don't you just make Triple H champion? If you're the authority and you want what's best for business, just put the fucking belt on Hunter and be done with it.
And an effective authority figure, and by God, do we need to get away from authority figures in WWE.
I have been saying that for years.
An awful crutch.
One of the best authority figures was Bischoff.
Yep, he set the standard for GMing.
Because he was a heel, and he had a clear bias. But, like, when Evolution was running rampant, at one point, he got sick of Hunter's shit. And he started working to screw him over.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't just give in to his stipulations. He would make things harder. He'd make something a triple threat. And just... it was great, because if you slighted him, he would go after you. It didn't matter if you were heel or a face. And having a more neutral figure like that was great. Teddy Long was the other end, but good in his own way.
But the thing I'm more getting at is these people, in theory, had a goal in mind, and their goal was to run a successful show. They were employed by the WWE, and they were trying to create stars and get ratings and blah, blah, blah. And the authority is just willy-nilly. They come out, and they are... occasionally, they'll just come out as faces and be smiling and say some nice things about, you know, Connor Michalik or...
yeah, or
whatever.
Divas Revolution, or...
yeah, take credit for that, and what they should be, and, you know, this... that might sound kind of similar to what you're saying about Bischoff, but it's very clearly not, because it's much more of a Bella's thing, where they're heel or they're face, depending on if they want to be. Not what they're talking about makes the people interpret them a certain way, but they're still the character that, you know, they have always been.
If
they're
anything...
they're actively flip-flopping their character, changing it at its bedrock.
If anything, like, the authority could be fine, theoretically.
Yeah.
If they were in more like a Jack Tunney role. Like, okay, if you have to have an authority figure, a GM, fine. Okay, then you could escalate a few to the point where, okay, Hunter and Stephanie have to step in.
Sure.
But just, like, everything. The authority are overexposed. And... the roster they have now, while thinned out, there's more guys than they're showing on TV. Bottom line, they have more people available to them than they're showing on TV, but they're leaning on the same group of upper mid-card guys to carry the show, and that's not fair.
Yep. And furthermore, the idea of WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, is ostensibly... that you are a troupe of professional wrestlers who are competing to be the best.
Yes.
And you don't have that feeling of competition, of aspiration.
The show feels more like a performance than it ever really has.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And the real big problem with that is, what are the biggest ratings movers on TV, like, week to week to week to week? And it's Monday Night Football, it's Thursday Night Football, it's Sunday Night Football. You have shows drawing monster numbers and everything, but NFL is king, and NFL is a sport. And scripted shows that are really, really, really good scripted shows, no matter how good they are, have a shelf life.
Yeah.
Some of them have a very long shelf life, but Raw's been on the air since 1993. Raw has been on the air for over 20 years.
Yes.
There is not a single sitcom or drama on the air that can pull the numbers that Raw does that's scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it, you know, Raw's strength is it, that it, you know, you can manipulate the outcomes, but also that people give a fuck. People care about the outcomes, even though it's worked. People care about the athleticism, even though it's not a legitimate competition. And to not use that to your advantage, to not foster an idea of sport, is, especially when the wrestling is so very good, that's just nonsensical to me.
Yeah, I mean, they've got such a great group of athletes.
What's everybody fighting for?
Yeah.
Why even have a match? Why do you want to be the IC champion? Why do you even want to be the world champion? Why'd your world come crumbling down because you got the title taken from you after 1 minute of holding it? 5 minutes, 15 seconds, whatever.
And,
who the fuck cares?
At least Kevin Owens, like, when he came out and he beat the crap out of Sami Zayn, he said, you know, this belt means more, like, a better life for my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, on paper, that's one of those heel characters that doesn't feel like it should be a heel, but he was such a dick about it.
Yeah, he was steamrolling people, you know,
and he was
people.
Just, like, it looked like he was murdering people.
And remember when he had the NXT title, and he's like, I don't even want John Cena's title, I've got a better title. And then, of course, he lost his title, and it was great because he's like, well, now I want it, I need a title. And that was really cool. But then they did the thing where they were like, well, you never beat John Cena. And he debuted by beating him. And they really got confused and weird with it.
Yes.
But the moment you lose motivation, the moment you lose the idea of it being a sport, and it loses that luster. Because motivationless people, you know, who gives a shit about people who don't give a shit about shit? I don't get it. It's not rocket science, is it?
No. No, it's not. And
like, you can have cartooniness if you want.
Yeah.
You can do whatever the hell. You can present whatever you want. But if you don't have it feeling like there are stakes, then no one's going to care. And you can have somebody go out there and go, I was the champion, and then it was taken away from me, and I'm mad about that. Well, why? Like, why? What does it mean to you? Does it mean more money? Does it mean prestige? Does it mean being a role model for kids? Why is that the what does it mean?
Yeah, and even if you say this belt means I am the best, that's relatable.
Exactly.
And it's so you have like three titles you can build on like that. And it's easy, and they have just completely lost the ability to create a simple storyline.
Yeah, I mean,
or to have a face who's likable. I find that to be a major thing right now.
Yeah, they have
their main event guys are, most of them are not likable. Ambrose is likable.
Yeah, he's likable, but he's marginalized.
Yes. Like, Reigns comes across like quite entitled sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Ziggler, I've made this point a few times where he just comes across incredibly smarmy.
He does.
And it's just, I find him insufferable to watch.
Yeah, no matter how good his work is, there's something missing from the current WWE crop where you don't buy most of them. And part of that's presentation, but part of it is, you know, it's a choked atmosphere too, I guess.
Yeah,
You're not allowed to really be anything other than what you're told that you are, and that's kind of shitty. And that's why, like, when you get a guy, like when Owens got brought up and he beat Cena and they had a phenomenal match, it was like, even though you kind of thought, well, they're already rematching him, and it's too soon, and it's not what they need to do, and they need to really extend this one out, you still kind of thought, that match was awesome. He's cutting, like, just the best promos on the show. He really feels like a throwback character. It's going to be great. Then he lost, and he was still cutting great promos. The match was phenomenal, so you thought, well, maybe they'll put him over here. And he lost again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stopped getting to cut promos.
You know,
he stopped having phenomenal matches.
The atmosphere feels so much like George Lucas, the new Star Wars. Where in the original, the actors had a lot more freedom. They kind of told George no. They did their own thing, because performers are very creative people.
Yep.
And they can bring a lot to a role.
They felt like more than what they were on paper.
Yes. And right now, like, WWE feels like the prequels, where George Lucas had absolute creative control. Mm-hmm. And he could dictate things, and he could basically... he would just have performances done in such a way that it would just kind of suck the life out of the performers till they just gave the performance exactly the way he wanted without question.
Yeah, he would shoot everything real close, real tight, very short takes on a green screen type thing, and
yeah.
Previously people have room to breathe, long takes, yeah. One shot.
Improv.
See where it goes.
Yeah.
Not all compartmentalized and squished in and told this is what it is and it will happen this way and we will do 10 takes if we have to, but it will be this way. And WWE, you're not going to take more than one take, because it's live on Raw. But if you don't do it the way they want, you lose your spot pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me, because when you hear Vince talk about millennials and walking around on eggshells and, they have no motivation, and you begin to wonder, he probably really does believe that, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's a coin flip. If you tell Vince, fuck no, that's stupid, okay, he's either going to respect you or he's going to fire you.
And most people don't want to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, Kath.
It's
one of
depressing.
Those things right now where Raw really... I mean, you can't deny that it's shit. You can find things to like about it, but you can't deny that the show is shit.
No.
New Day was the best thing, and now New Day is getting old.
Yeah, it's a case of just being run down. They finally realize they have a good thing, and now they're going to try and start overworking it.
Yep. And...
And
not...
even something like up, up, down, down. You can feel them starting to put their fingers in that pie.
Really? I don't watch.
Okay, they had a live stream.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were doing a live stream. It ended with Dolph Ziggler kicking Tyler Breeze.
Really?
Yeah, so... again, now they're going to start to... dabble in there.
Huh.
And so it's dangerous, because they sometimes realize we've got something good here and they run it into the ground. And sometimes they don't realize that they have something and they ignore it.
Catch 22.
Yeah.
I'd like to... I'm not going to get mad on this show. I'd like to come out, though, and say, it's not all bad. Mm-hmm. And, truly, it's not all bad, but even the good stuff isn't as good as it should be. And sometimes it just feels like there's nothing for me on Raw.
Yeah.
And, I don't need scraps thrown. I don't need, hey, but, this thing will be, we'll have this good segment and that good segment. I want a good show. And even if every single segment isn't good, I want some sort of long-term view. Some sort of outlook, some sort of something where I think, I like where this is going, but I get none of that.
I'm agreeing with you more and more about the fundamental format needs to change.
Absolutely.
Different stuff needs to happen.
Yeah.
The thing is, the show feels very note by note, beat by beat, repetitive.
Yeah.
And... I will never say he's a good writer, but Vince Russo, he was never boring.
That's
his shows may have been terrible,
goal.
His shows may have been absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
But they never felt, they never dragged.
I feel like that's not the goal.
But you know what? The company is World Wrestling Entertainment.
Right.
And right now, they have a huge world market. They have some good wrestling, but they're missing on the entertainment.
Yeah. Far be it from me to, you know, say anything good about any of these people as people, but Cowboy Bill Watts in Mid-South, mm-hmm. Ole Anderson in Georgia and in Florida at the same time. God, let's just start with those two, I guess. But, you know, presenting the long-term view that those guys were able to present and the sort of, okay, first off, commentary is king. Commentary mm-hmm. is supposed to be the word of God. And yep. you don't have that with Michael Cole. People don't respect him. People don't like him. People hate him, in fact. He gets one of the yep. biggest heel reactions when he comes out, you know, makes his entrance for every show. And well, part of that's the heel turn.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't have done something where their play-by-play guy was the most obnoxious, monstrous yep. heel there was.
So it kills credibility. So you have that, and then universally, everyone thinks JBL sucks, and everyone thinks Byron Saxton sucks.
The thing is with JBL, like, he's the mouth of Vince right now.
Right.
And when he's on his own, he's not horrible.
Sure, yeah.
He's horrible when he's got to say the stuff Vince wants him to say.
Talk over people and take things out of context and, like, just keep beating someone over the head with it until they just give up. And you have, okay, so everyone pretty much thinks commentary sucks. Nobody trusts the word of your lead announcer.
Yes.
Which is trouble when it comes to pushing things.
And not only that, you watch old commentators or better commentators,
right.
and while they might refer back to the main event, which is good,
yep.
because the main event should be...
That's what people are paying to see.
Exactly. But, you know, you could also talk about how, oh man, if the Lucha Dragons beat out Los Matadors, that could move them up the ranks in the tag division.
Right.
Like, okay, this match is important for this reason. I am watching Lenny Lane wrestle Silver King because this could get them closer to a number one contender shot for the Cruiserweight belt.
Yeah, and contextualize things, which doesn't happen at all anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Why, like, if two people are having a match, and you have to have some sort of explanation for, you know, if they're moving up in the ranks, then what does that mean? More money? It means more prestige? It means, you know, when their contract comes, you know, time to renew, they can get renewed for more?
Yeah.
Any number of things.
I would rather keep it away from, like, contract negotiations because that's boring. That's like in comic books where...
You just throw it in real quick.
The thing is, like, I was reading about a comic book character and it was like, there was divorce.
You were reading
there was...
about a comic
yeah.
book character?
Yes.
Which
yes.
one?
Hawkeye.
Okay.
There was divorce. There's cancer. There's this. There's... It's like, really? This is why people read comics, to get away from stuff like this. Why are we delving into this stuff when there's... It's a comic book. Infinite other things could happen. He could be kidnapped for an intergalactic archery tournament somewhere.
To be fair, that probably happened to him.
That would be awesome. I would buy that comic. So, you know, like, that's why, like, contract negotiation, that stuff is dull as dishwater.
Well, that's why it comes up in conversation, because here's the thing, when you have a note like that, then you reinforce that wrestlers are rich.
Yeah.
And being rich helps the presentation of this being a high-stakes game. It makes matches more important because people make more money,
yeah.
things like that. But these are all ancillary?
Ancillary.
I forgot how to pronounce that. Had too much whiskey tonight. These are all, you know, parts of the whole. And so if commentary is king and it starts through there and filters through there, then what you need from there, because they're explaining motivation and they're explaining the stakes and everything, is you need to have short promos where people are just cutting promos so that they can draw some fucking money. Because nothing gets a personality over more than having 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, of unfettered promo time and not my guest at this time, blah, 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 and then, you know, just diarrhea out their mouth. Just some, okay, and you know the thing, people always rail against scripted promos. They're not the problem. Some people can do them. Some people don't need to do them. But it's talent specific. And more, you know, going back to the Roman point about him, you know, they want him to cut promos, John Cena style, really long that doesn't work. Everything has to be talent specific. Accentuate the positives.
Yes, and Paul, or Steve Austin was talking about how Paul Heyman was such a genius at that.
Mm-hmm.
Where
everyone talks about that, because he was really good at it.
The thing is, like, it continuously baffled me that Public Enemy kept getting work.
Right?
They were horrible.
They were, like, his hottest act for a time.
They were horrible, and yet Heyman had them so hyped up and so well built that the three companies were competing. They were a commodity.
Yeah, they worked for all the big three.
Yeah. Despite being horrible.
Like, I don't think words can describe how bad the Public Enemy were.
Yeah.
They sucked so much shit.
They did. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But, it's just, they have lost the motivation to tell a good story, to let a character develop on their own. And you hear about talent pitching ideas and stuff, and it's like, why not run with some of those? Because, you know, Brad Maddox coming up with an idea for Brad Maddox, okay, you know, maybe you can work with that, maybe you can tweak it. But, it's just absolutely ridiculous that there's such a stranglehold on what is put out on TV. They just have this iron grip on the talent.
Yeah.
And they won't let go, and they won't loosen the belt. And this is a time where they could do that.
Yeah.
There's not major competition right now.
No, and as much as people want to act like New Japan is, they're the closest, but they're not competition.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like for them to be, but they're not.
Yeah. And it's the same with Lucha Underground or Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not on that level, and they are smart to not have aspirations to be that level yet.
Yeah, and look at Ring of Honor puts out a action figure with the Fight Steen Fight shirt, and WWE basically goes to war with them. They get TV on Destination America, which has, you know, a unbelievably minuscule viewership.
Yeah.
And they just try to destroy them. You know, counter-program, they use NXT as like a poison pill against them.
Yeah, I mean, it just, the company is just unbelievably petty, and we've known that for ever.
Yeah.
They're petty to their own talent. They're petty. Mm-hmm.
Most of all, they're petty to their own talent.
Yeah, I mean, something like Swerved just goes to show you how much they think of their people.
How about illegally classifying them as independent contractors?
Yes,
that's
we all
shitty.
Know that one. That is horrible. And I think, honestly, that is the thing that will eventually sink the company.
I doubt it.
No, you know, like, not right now, not probably not anytime soon, but some senator, somebody could make a name on that.
They don't care, it's wrestling.
But
that's always been wrestling's benefit, is that they're below suspicion because they're wrestling.
But that could be what does them in.
We'll see.
The right person, you know, all it would take is, like, a few stars aligning. Because if anybody ever bothered to look into it with serious intent,
mm-hmm.
they would not work.
Yeah.
It would not work out for the company. I mean, the wrestlers themselves have little cause to justify, like, have little reason to want to rock that boat. Because they would just be shooting the golden goose in the head. It doesn't behoove the wrestlers to complain, but somebody will. At some point, that is the thing that's going to...
I mean, this has been going on for many, many years.
Yes.
Many, many years. And it still hasn't happened.
The fact that it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't.
I'm not holding out for that one. If it happens, great, because it's absolutely pathetic, but...
Absolutely.
I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
But, that, I mean, that's really a secondary point there.
Yes.
So, going back to... So, we talked about presentation at WWE.
Yes.
And just going back to that briefly, because I've talked about, you know, you need to have short promos. You need to have people allowed to cut money promos, because that was the really one of the really big things.
Yeah.
You know, and,
you've got people like Ambrose and people like...
Mm-hmm.
Even Del Rio is a pretty decent promo.
He wouldn't be the second one I'd go to there, but he's all right.
Yeah. You've got quite a few people who can cut a solid-ass promo.
Owens, Cena, Roman, if he's not if he's short and sweet and to the point. But, that's one thing that they can do. And as much as... Because WWE, for whatever reason, will insist on certain things being old hat and not working anymore. But best promo guy in the business is Conor McGregor, and he's fighting for a real promotion. So... Mm-hmm. Why does it work there and not work in the traditional promo industry of professional wrestling? Why did it work in wrestling forever when, and let's be real here, pretty much everyone always knew the score. Everyone always knew wrestling was not on the up and up. I mean, pretty mm-hmm. much everyone. So why did it work then? Why won't it work now? Why does it work in UFC? Why does it still work in boxing? Why doesn't it work for WWE? Well, it would.
They don't let it work.
And that just blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Conor McGregor goes from relative obscurity to drawing this, the non-Ronda Rousey biggest buy rate in UFC this year. And he does that with, not with Jose Aldo, but with a secondary guy who got put in that slot a few weeks out, you know, after Aldo got hurt. And he did that all by talking. And when was the last time a guy in WWE was able to draw a buy rate with his mouth, so to speak?
Yeah, and...
I mean, I get that pay-per-views aren't really a thing anymore, but, you know, pop a rating, get some subscriber numbers up, anything.
There were some dudes, too, where if you just said, here, Ambrose, here's a live microphone. Go out there for the next 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And one of the best promos in recent memory was right after Rollins turned. And Ambrose just went on in that. He didn't scream. He didn't really yell. And he just went on casually about the different ways he was going to disfigure Seth Rollins. And I don't know if that's just him, but it was just captivating. Because you're listening to the dude, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, he is talking about murder.
Yeah.
And it was terrific. And it felt like it was from the heart.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was one of the last times I remember a promo in recent memory feeling like it was coming from somewhere human.
Yes. And that, I mean, the biggest star in the history of WWE is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes.
Whatever metric you want to use, realistically, I mean, he didn't have the longevity of Bruno or even Hulk, but his peak was bigger than anyone ever, ever, ever in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing he had was people believed him, and he believed himself. I mean, there's that note about how he was convinced, like, if it ever came to blows between him and Mike Tyson, that he could beat Mike Tyson up. And think about that. You know, he worked himself into a shoot, basically. That's how much he believed his character.
Yeah.
And that's your biggest star ever. The template for it is someone who speaks from the heart, who is who you say he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, do you buy Roman being who he says he is or who you present him as? Do you buy that at all? I don't buy Seth Rollins either as, like, the whiny little authority heel guy. I buy him as like a super athlete who's kind of, you know, a little bit dorky, a little bit.
If they made him like more like an Edge, you know, where they had him be conniving and smart, or even, God help them, using the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. great, but still capable of being clowned. And still a bit of an idiot. Like, cool.
But whatever they do, I mean, the biggest stars, not all of them, but most of the big stars in wrestling history are themselves turned up to 11, mm-hmm. as they say. Flair was himself. I mean,
but I think Seth might be closer to Raven then.
Seth might be closer to Raven.
If you watch some of his interviews, he just comes across like a little bit like the angsty kid you knew in high school.
This is a dude who I listened to his interview a few years ago before he got signed to WWE. He did an interview for F4W, and Brian Alvarez asked him, "Do you want to get your whatever you want to do, upcoming appearances, Twitter, whatever?" He said, "I want to plug my gamer tag." And he went ahead and plugged his gamer tag.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, that's, I hate to say it, but relatable these days. Who gives a shit, right? Like,
exactly.
And that's why people have responded to the New Day so very well, is they see that realism to them. They know, you know, Big E really is that way.
Yeah.
If you follow his Twitter, he's a very smart guy who's very witty. And just a, you know, silly guy. And Xavier is, I remember, goddamn, like, back on one of our proto shows, I remember both of us pointing out Xavier Woods as a guy who, just an untapped fount of charisma. And look at him now! You know, he's like the best non-wrestler in the company.
Absolutely.
Even though he wrestles.
Yeah. No, and,
You buy it. You buy it from them.
Exactly. And it's like that genuineness. Like, you'd have that with Heath Slater, where it was just, you know, we're 3MB. Like, these are three idiots, and they think they're in a band, and they don't have instruments. And it's so ridiculous. But they still got booed.
Yeah.
Or The Shield, where they were these badasses. And they were on the side of justice, and... Mm-hmm. Eventually,
whatever
that got
meant
a little bit,
in their internal logic.
Yeah, that got a little bit nebulous, but okay, I can go with that.
They had their own justification for it, but you don't get to know.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and they were great as faces.
Yes,
as
they were.
As relatively brief as that was, that wasn't too brief. They did have two phenomenal feuds out of it, but you bought it, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
That's one of the reasons, like, the Wyatts have never really clicked with me is because I've never bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you listen and he's just saying nonsense. And if I had the sense that he was working towards a goal, okay, like Bray Wyatt was working towards something, okay, but no, he's just going out there and it's word salad.
Right. It's clever, it's cutesy, it's not him. It's not anyone, really.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, okay, imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, and he starts talking about tater tots, and he starts talking about how, God only knows what, suffering succotash son, doing alliteration, making jokes, smiling, waving at the camera, like, that's not his character.
Yeah.
I mean, and I keep going back to Stone Cold Steve Austin, because we are talking about a top guy. Roman Reigns is the top guy right now, so you don't have to do it exactly like Stone Cold Steve Austin. God knows. He has to be his own man.
Yes.
And he can be, I mean, God forbid they're making him like Diesel. That's not what you want to do.
No.
I mean, proven failure there.
Yes.
You want to make him like Nash, I guess go ahead, but don't make him like Diesel.
And, you know, a lot of people make the Luger comparison.
Yeah.
Too. And one of the most apt things they said about Luger was that, you know, he got pushed. A lot of people think he's worse than he was.
Yeah,
Luger
that's
was
true.
A fine wrestler.
He was okay. I mean, he had periods where he didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Compared to the era, I mean, Roman is much, 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 much better than Lex Luger. But compared to the era, not bad. So... Yeah, not a valid comparison as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no.
But the other things about him, yeah, no doubt about it. You know, the not being not being over necessarily, pushed, getting cold feet on him so many times.
Yeah, and it's amazing how, like, current WWE feuds, they don't feel like they're continuing for a valid reason, and it just feels like each time the person doesn't win, they're just a choke artist.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, hate to say it, but when Dean was in that holdover feud with Seth Rollins, and he just lost.
And kept losing. And
kept losing.
They tried to come up with ways to make him keep his heat.
Right.
But it did not work.
No, there's a way to do it, and there's a way not to.
And you can't keep doing it. You can't.
No, you can't.
I mean, there's a reason the Dusty Finish was invented. But you can't have every match in the feud end in a Dusty Finish.
Right. And you can't have every match end in a Fuck Finish. People will eventually stop caring. I mean, the whole point of the chase is you hold off on pulling the trigger as long as possible, but you eventually have to pull the trigger.
Yes, and WWE has gotten insanely gun-shy, mm-hmm. either with their faces or with their heels.
Yeah.
They have just this unwillingness.
It's...
to put anybody over.
Yeah. What can you say?
It's horrible.
Let's see here. So that's WWE in a nutshell right now. Roman Reigns, the ongoing thing. You know, I don't want to do this show and to be negative all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm being unfair by being negative. I don't think that... I hope people out there don't intimate me being unfair, think that I'm not giving them their fair due, because when something's good, we do say it. But last Raw, there was really nothing worth talking about. I mean, they're doing an ECW nostalgia run.
Yeah, in 2015.
2015. You know? What?
Yeah.
ECW!
It's insane. And eventually, they're going to run out of nostalgia stars.
Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer. And people
Double
were...
Double duty.
People were again disappointed that it wasn't Spike Dudley.
Rhino is back.
Yeah, and Rhino looks terrible.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, not his fault. Time happens to us all.
Yeah, he's still actually under 40, I think.
Yeah, but dude's looking rough.
Yeah, oh, he's 40 now. Yeah, I mean, if you've watched him in NXT, he's not good. People think he's good for... Like, here's a fun thing that I always say to do. If you think someone's a good wrestler, you get excited for him, name their 5 best matches.
Mm-hmm.
Do that with Rhino, you'll find no good matches.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely.
Like, everybody should have a couple 4-star fucking matches, right?
Yes.
If they're a main eventer, if they're around forever, whatever. But, again, I don't want to just be all negative and ragey and screaming.
I mean, I think creative is aware of the issues. But, I mean, there was a Triple H just recently said in the investor call, you know, it's frustrating trying to fix these things because you're always going to have an old guard who wants things done their way.
Yeah.
And it can be, when you're in a business environment like that, it can be very, very hard to try and change the course of the ship.
Sure, yeah.
So...
But I mean, it's like, part of me is just like, I don't care. You know what you have to do. You've had 10 years, or however long, you know, course correct. And you have to realize, you have to be mature enough and on the ball enough and not in your own little bubble enough that you realize that it's going to take a while to turn it around. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take people doing jobs. It's going to take a difference in presentation. And it will not turn around. It will not turn around in half, you know, in a month or in a half a year or even in 1 year. It's going to take a long fucking time.
And what they have to do is set loose goals for themselves.
Yeah.
So, in other words, okay, point A is where we are. Point C is getting Roman Reigns over, for instance.
Right.
How do we get there?
They always say work backward.
And the thing is, you cannot do it in a point-by-point, week-by-week basis. You have to try some different things. You have to see what works and what doesn't. There has to be flexibility. And right now, the talent is not given enough creative leeway.
Yeah.
To find something that works, to find their own voice.
Yeah, my understanding, to be fair, is Austin 316 was almost completely scripted. But it was said in a way that was in his voice.
Yeah, and more than likely, if he went a word or two off script, fine. Not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the most iconic lines in cinema and TV history were improvised.
Right, and like, every movie is scripted, but not every word said in that movie was as it was written.
Yeah, and I mean, anybody who's ever done staging or performed or written something will tell you that sometimes the way something is written on paper doesn't flow right when you say it.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, but I remember watching this making of video, and it was a series of outtakes, and it was a French guy, and he was getting two lines mixed up in the script. It didn't change the phrasing at all. It was very minor.
Mm-hmm.
But the director kept making the guy say it the way it was on the paper. And the way the actor was saying it was fine.
Oh, yeah.
And you can just tell, like, the guy had nothing left for that particular delivery. Because over a dozen times it was like, my God, director man, just let him say it the way he wants to, or the way it's flowing naturally.
Right.
And that's the difference between a good director and a bad director, is when they know to just let something slide.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what more can you say, really, about that? WWE has a culture of being, a control freak.
Yes.
Which has been the case for a long, long time, and that's why it's not funny, but that's why it's always, I guess you could say, curious, maybe? That Vince McMahon is always so adamant about certain things and things being the way that he says they are, even though they're mm-hmm. not that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he will insist that, you know, the one thing I remember is you got to show up every day at work. You know, you show up with egg on your face. You know, with breakfast on your face. You know, you got to earn it every single day that you come in. And if you know anything about him, it's just like, oh, you're one of the most arbitrary people I have ever heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to know. And if he doesn't, then what good decision-making can you do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're so dishonest with yourself to not realize that, whether it's dishonesty or your mind is gone or you're stupid or whatever, if you're that way, then it makes sense why you fuck up nonstop.
And not only that, like, surrounded by yes men.
And that's, so again, what kind of person allows themselves to be surrounded by yes men?
So not only that, it's, you've got this, you know, you've got these negative ideas or these bad ideas, and there's nobody to tell you they're bad ideas.
And you don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not capable of realizing it, it's just like, you're gone, like, you bought in.
It is like a writer who has, or a director who has too much creative control, and their excesses and their bad habits are compounded in what they're writing or what they're producing.
Yeah.
So, everybody needs an editor.
Yeah.
And they need somebody they trust in a strong position who can say, this is too far, this is too much, this doesn't work. I mean, the whole reason to have a creative team is to have a lot of people hopefully coming together with some good ideas. Ideally.
In theory.
In the best reality.
If it's to work, that's the way it's going to happen. And that's the thing I always get at is, you know, people will rail on about two different things right now with WWE, and that it's a corporate structure and what can you really do, or it's all Vince McMahon's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do? You know, exactly. Because he's hidebound and he's lost it. So the thing I think is, you know, it is a corporate structure, and we've talked about how he's not used to that. But point is, it's a corporate structure, but realistically speaking, he has final say. He has controlling stock. He's the unquestioned boss. He has a lot of masters to serve now, you know, with stock and with conference calls, and he's got to make Mattel happy and whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they have fired people.
Right.
To keep Mattel happy.
But at the end of the day, he can do whatever he realistically wants. But he can't do whatever he wants because that's not how big business works. But what he is doing, he's not doing the things that he needs to do as, you know, to right the ship. And
yeah.
don't mistake it. That's his call. And the fact that it's not going right, like you said, you know, the guy, when you allow yourself, because the yes men, it's not their fault, you know, that you rely on them, that you believe in them, that whatever. It's like, it's your fault. If you're
for sure
that pathetic that you let it happen, then it's your fault because you let it happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an attractive thing, though. To have somebody constantly being like, that is a fantastic idea.
Yeah,
good job.
But you have to know.
No, you don't.
And that's the thing. If you don't, then you've lost it. Because you should know.
Yeah, I mean, the
Ziggy
WWE...
sucked up into his mind.
Yeah.
He can do no wrong, you know? It just, mm-hmm. it's frustrating.
Are we going to have to crush his sweet hands?
Will it help?
Maybe.
I don't know. If it'll do anything, then yes, you can do all of the things in that song to him.
Okay.
So that's WWE. They have a pay-per-view this Sunday. Kath, are you watching?
No, I'm actually going to be away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's why we had to do this show tonight on your birthday, and I'm keeping you up far too late, and I apologize.
Oh, dude, I'm going to be up for another hour.
Good. Then that might be how long we go. WWE is presenting a pay-per-view this Sunday that you're not going to watch. It's the traditional tables, ladders, and chairs pay-per-view, once one of their better-performing pay-per-views. Now, the network and the pay-per-view branding has all but made it a C-show. Not mm-hmm. all but. It is a C-show. You have a title match going in that no one realistically cares about, and you have no viable support match whatsoever. You have no support match.
I mean, unless they just tell Ambrose and Owens to be like, dudes, go out there and tear the roof off.
Right, but that won't help
hit each
any
other
with interest going in.
Yeah.
And they could very well have a great match, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's just get your thoughts on the main event for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Sheamus, the champion, yes, Sheamus, the champion, facing off against Roman Reigns. Your thoughts? Who will win? Will it be good? How will it go? Etc., etc.
The match will be fine. Sheamus will retain due to chicanery, but it won't make Roman look strong.
And it won't make Sheamus look strong either.
Nope.
So we've got, as you mentioned, Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose. And do you think that both stables will run in and then Sheamus will get a fluke win? Roll up, hit him with a chair, hit him with a ladder.
I don't know that Sheamus... Because
you can't do a count out or anything.
Yeah, no. I don't know that Reigns' people will help him out too much.
No?
No.
Curious, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose for the IC title. That is probably the strongest support match they got.
Yeah, and that should be fun as all get out.
It should be very good. If they get time.
Yeah, and fingers crossed. If they do, if they get, like, more than 10 minutes, it'll be great.
Yeah, this is actually a Styles matchup that I really enjoy the idea of. Kevin Owens has pretty much shown, you know, since he entered into the company, that he's one of the best at working the style. Incredibly, incredibly good at pacing his matches. And, you know, Dean will be right there with him.
Oh, yeah.
I think the longer, slower style will benefit him. Not that they don't do shit, you know what I mean? But they're more methodical, more thought out, more big moves leading it, you know, and building off the big moves. So I think this will be a really good match if they get time.
Absolutely. I mean, the two of them are just so naturally good.
Yeah.
That it will be a good match regardless.
So you've got a triple threat tag, New Day versus Usos versus Lucha Dragons for the tag team champions.
I think you said all that needs to be said. Who's going to pin the Lucha Dragons?
Do you think the Usos will win the title?
Could.
But
they could. I mean, it would be interesting if they actually used the titles, like, to hurt Roman. But again, that makes it more of a Pucci situation. They've kind of damned themselves. Because if they try and build a decent story where the Authority are literally trying to take away everything that Roman cares about and everything Roman's friends care about.
Yeah.
That could be a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
But they've poisoned Reigns to the point where if I was watching that and I could see what they were doing, I would still think, God damn, they are trying to make it all about Roman.
And you'd be right.
Yeah, which is a shame because that could be an interesting story.
I think so, yeah.
So, I don't know.
And that goes back to the whole, you know, how it's a little bit weird that the guys in the League of Nations are not feuding with League of Nations people, by and large, because, like, if they're going with that, what does it matter that the Usos are facing off against people not in the League of Nations and that Dean is too? So it's weird.
Yeah.
Is what it is, though. Do you give a shit about Charlotte versus Paige?
It's amazing how bad it is.
Ric Flair will be there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, they don't... That's the thing. If they were doing heel versus heel, okay, but Charlotte's in this weird nebulous place right now,
so,
and
yeah.
They really have not defined their terms. And when you don't tell people the tone you're going for, It just leaves people confused and disinterested.
Yeah, because there's nothing wrong with diluting the lines a little bit.
Yeah.
But you have to have a clear goal in mind.
And
have to have a
clear
destination.
You know what? The WWE at this point needs to clear the slate. Like, I don't think they can handle nuance.
And they've never been particularly good at it, but...
Well, I mean, you could say Austin. Like, Austin did some bad things.
But, I mean, anti-hero, you know?
Yes.
That fit in.
Okay, that's fine. I don't think WWE can do the Shades of Grey thing right now. They need to go back to, like, black and white hats, or as much as they ever did.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So they need to just go back to the simple stuff that worked, that is timeless.
The and shit they built their company on.
Yes, and, like, I'm a photographer in real life, and there are certain poses that are classic, and everybody should do them before moving on to the more elaborate stuff.
Yeah.
They are classic and they are timeless because they work. And when you can nail those, then you can do the more elaborate stuff. And right now, WWE needs to go back to the drawing board, needs to wipe the slate clean, and say, okay, this guy's a bad guy because he cheats, he does this, and he's a foreigner. Okay. This guy's a good guy because this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, and you don't have to make them white meat.
No. But, you know, simplify it. This is why he's a heel. This is why he's a face. This is why they would fight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then, you know, when they've got those that grasp of the basics back down again, then go on. Because at this point, like, they've been trying the same thing so many times in the same shade of gray crap so often that it would be beneficial to them to just strip it back down.
Yeah.
To just strip it back down. Ambrose is a good guy because he doesn't cheat. He's kind of this wackadoo dude. He's intense, but he's a hell of a scrappy son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love a cool brawler, you know?
Yeah. And that's why he's a face.
Right. He wins all his matches. He is strong. He, you know, people cheat on him.
Yeah.
And he still overcomes.
Mm-hmm.
That's standard shit that has happened, you know, forever.
I mean, Superman is still a draw.
You know, Batman is a bigger one.
Yeah.
Batman's a face.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know, who gives a fuck anymore?
Yeah, and it's just, I think that's the one thing that's really just hurting now is these overcomplicated feuds, and they're going too far.
It's the grinding fucking nebulous oblivion of every feud, of never going anywhere, never developing.
And they, you know, they go into a feud with no clear point. It's like in TEW, like
yeah.
If you're doing the booking yourself, and you don't say, okay, the point of this feud is, the main point of this feud is to get Dean Ambrose more over than he is now.
Right.
And if, for instance, Luke Harper happens to get more over too, so be it. But this is what we're aiming for. How do we get there? And to have clear goals in mind and achieve them. That's all. That's, they just need to simplify.
Yeah.
You know, we have these goals. We have 6 goals. We need to accomplish these by WrestleMania.
Right. And, you know, it's the old axiom of work backward. We want to peak at WrestleMania. Well, we're going to, you know, let's think back. At this pay-per-view, this happens. At this pay-per-view, that's happens. Da, 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 da. This is who we program them with. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
I just, you know. 8-man tag team elimination tables match the ECW people against the
Wyatt
family.
You know, that's not going to get a lot of time.
Yeah, it'll be. I'm half kind of wondering if Wyatt's will sweep.
That would be impressive. You know, like, that's something that would be impressive.
You know, like, what worth do the Dudley boys have with the role that they're in? Like, I hate them, but they had the ability to be over and to do shit, but now they're just so not over.
No.
And what's Tommy Dreamer gonna mean? What's fucking Rhino gonna mean?
And that's, and the thing too is, like, if they're there just to be gone over, so be it.
Yeah, put somebody over big, fine.
There's nothing wrong with that. And those guys at the stage in their career, they know it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. So I mean, they just need to go back to the simple stuff that worked. And give it a shot.
Give it a shot. United States title, Alberto Del Rio, Jack Swagger. Chairs match. Swagger ain't going over.
No.
No. Alberto will beat him.
Yeah, unless if they actually went with them. Did you know the rumor is that Alberto's next feud will be Brock Lesnar?
That ain't happening.
I know.
No way is that happening.
That would be so silly.
I'm sorry, there's no way.
That'd be, like, that's just one of those things I read, I'm like, how?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, it's a shame because there's so many people I would like to see Lesnar go up against.
And yeah, it's not him.
Yeah, he's nowhere near the list. Like, not even anywhere. He's not even in the top 15.
No, yet. Finally, Ryback Rusev. Who gives a fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's talk about the Triple H NXT conference call. You had a little note here about he had a couple thoughts.
Yeah.
About current product, NXT in general. I don't really care about that so much, but it was interesting to me that he did talk about Raw, about fans tuning out, and about how they're going to fix it. And he literally said fix, which is surprising. Because yeah. WWE's kind of MO is to, I mean, if you remember when the fans turned on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, you know, Vince McMahon did a thing where he was like, you know, people are mad because their favorite didn't win, but our network subscribers have gone up and they say they're not going to watch,
but they are.
And here, Triple H is actually, you know, rationally kind of responding to, I mean, this question I don't have anything really, I don't have any issues with. Just to kind of quote it here, we've had some unfortunate situations with injuries and everything else. It's on us to be more creative and come up with a better format, a better show. We hear people's frustrations, and in a lot of ways, we feel the same way. We're fixing it and trying to fix it. It is what it is. How we fix it, we're not 100% sure yet, but we will get there. Trust me. So, I mean, explicitly calling out, you know, as much as they will, the creative, which he's the head of, and that they know people are frustrated and they're trying. That's kind of surprising to me.
But you know what? You know, the last time they had a response to fan frustrations, it was when, like, the Divas were getting 3-minute matches. And look what we got as a result.
Yeah, they're more over than ever.
Oh my god, they're so hot right now.
Oh my god. I will never forget Stephanie McMahon coming out and just going like, now here are your teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking ridiculous.
No, let's not give anybody any character or, you know, a vignette or two.
Motivation?
Yeah.
Anything?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just very surprised here by Triple H saying that, because it's not like he had to.
Yeah.
You know, and again, their MO is not to address it, which to me means that they realize, well, I mean, obviously they realize, but to me it just means that it is very much weighing on their mind, I guess. It's a big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, for them to acknowledge that the fans are feeling frustrated,
yeah.
Imagine trying to be somebody on the inside trying to change things.
Yep. Very true.
So, I mean, I hate seeing wait and see. I've waited and seen so many times with this company that it's lost all meaning.
Oh, Kath, don't give them another chance. They don't deserve it.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground knows what it is. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Not the biggest fan of where they've gone with it, but they know what they are.
Exactly.
And God bless them for it. So, do you have anything else to talk about, or shall we get into questions?
I think we can do questions.
You get many?
I did, but none of them, very few of them make sense to me.
Okay, good.
Okay. Okay, I'll just go in order.
Okay.
Favorite Digimon?
I don't know any.
I don't either. Okay.
Shane Bleppo.
Yeah. do you like Super Smash Bros. 4 and its newest DLC character, whose name is John Cena?
Who asked that one? Yak?
Let me see. Headbutt stoppage.
Oh, okay. Thought that was a Yak question. I have played very little of Super Smash Bros. 4. Played it on the DS. Didn't like it. Thought the controls were a little bit meh. But I was familiar with it. Remembered all the moves. John Cena would be great in Smash, believe me.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
he'd be the best.
Yeah, he's usually the best.
I love that famous John Cena.
Yeah, I'm fine with, I'm down with that.
John Cena, you're doing good.
Okay, let's see, Slapnuts. What do you want to see at TLC, and what do you expect to see? I would like to see coherent storylines and fun matches, and I suspect we will not see the former.
I want to see somebody shit in the ring again. We haven't had that in a long while.
Yeah, basically, like, I want to see good wrestling, I want a good pay-per-view, and I don't think we'll get it.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of really good wrestling, so I don't even need that in as much as I need them to demonstrate knowing how to book.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just look at
good booking.
Their top heel stable.
Yeah.
Right now, and I just think, what can you even do with that?
I want good booking, but I do not expect it.
You know, it's just, you know?
Yeah.
What can you do with the heel, the top guy? I mean, hell, the top guy and the challenger are not, neither of them fucking over.
I mean, frankly, like, Barrett would have been a better choice, because at least he hasn't been as devalued as Sheamus.
Sheamus pretty devalued.
Yeah, I mean, but you put Barrett out there with the microphone for 5 or 10 minutes, and he can get the crowd pissed off. Sheamus has a hard time getting any kind of a connection.
Well, I mean, Barrett is a much better talker.
Yes.
Probably at this point a better wrestler, too. better character, no doubt about it.
Yes.
But, I don't know. Sheamus is more over than him. I can't even say that shit, you know?
Yeah.
Sheamus has been given more opportunity, has been destroyed less prior to this. Let's say that.
Well said.
But Barrett would have been a much better choice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Alrighty. Favorite Cool Cat book?
What is this Cool Cat that you guys are all talking about?
A series of videos we saw about this character named Cool Cat, who was just a dude in a cat costume.
Okay.
And
he was cool and a cat.
Yeah, and he had friends, and his dad was a human, but his mom was another cat.
Oh my god.
And they found a gun, and there was, like, the other characters, his friends are kids, and they found a gun, and the bully literally, like, waggled his fingers and went, "Mwahahaha."
No shit.
And he was this little fat blonde kid.
What?
And he took the gun, and he was going to take it to school and steal everybody's lunch money.
What?
Yes. And Cool Cat's friends didn't know what to do, and they were panicking, and Cool Cat's like, "We need to go tell an adult!" And they told an adult, and the adult, like, the kids got arrested, and the fat bully kid was like, "Next time!"
Are you shitting me?
No. If anything, I'm underselling it.
I have to watch these.
They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful.
Yes, I shall watch these one day. After You'll we enjoy watch them. That They're... fucking Chuck E. Cheese pod racing movie.
Yes, and we still have to watch the Christmas movie. I still want to do that as a live watch.
Christmas movie?
Yeah, the Mrs.
Oh god, we need to fucking watch that.
Yeah. If I could figure out how to do the, have the sound on and pod do a live viewing, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, if only.
A very special podcast.
I imagine it would be absolutely riveting to hear people talk the exact length of a shitty movie about a shitty movie.
Who would ever think to do that?
I heard it's coming back.
Huh. Just like chicken fries?
Or the McRib. Do we have more?
Let's see. That was it for me.
What?
Yeah, 4 questions. That's okay.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm not. Need more questions.
All right, well, you ask.
I didn't ask for any. It's too
late.
Well,
that's your damn fault.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know I had to ask for them. You usually ask for me.
You usually ask as well, and we get a mix. One of us gets more questions than the other.
You are correct. I got nothing.
Okay.
It's your birthday.
Thank you.
Did you party like it's your birthday?
Yeah, today? I had a beer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was Canadian, yeah.
Well, was it one I know of or like
no? Molson Canadian.
I was going to say, I do know what a Molson tastes like.
Yeah.
It tastes like shit.
It's not the worst. It's not the worst I've ever had.
No, it's not the best either.
No.
I had Canadian whiskey, actually, while we were doing this show.
Good for you.
It was Black Velvet. Have you ever had it?
No, I can't say I'm too active in the whiskey community.
You should get into it. Whiskey is good shit. Tastes good. Strong. Black Velvet is aged for 3 years.
Wow.
Good stuff. And it's cheap as shit. Comes in a plastic jug, so you know it's good.
Oh, yes.
Well, Kath, very happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for podcasting with me on my birthday.
Of course. And thanks, everyone, of course, for listening as well. And we hope you will join us next week.
Absolutely.
Et cetera, et cetera. So any other last-minute last-minute thoughts, things?
TLC is going to suck.
I can't think of a pay-per-view where I've looked at a card and thought, I'm interested in that match, and then nothing else. Owens versus Ambrose, very interested in.
I would almost love to see, I almost wish Owens and Ambrose was the stairs match. Just because I think those two could somehow manage to wrangle a good match out of that horrible concept.
Damn it, Catherine. No, they couldn't. Stairs match!
I think they could. They would come up with some spot, and, you know, Ambrose would have to channel his inner Moxley and just go to town on it.
If only we could live in such a world.
Indeed. All right, good night, Man Flurry.
Good night, Kath, and good night, everyone out there in Radioland. Bye.